The message title for tonight is Now What? Now What? You see, after a retreat like Worthy of Six, the question that you have in front of you is now what? Okay, that was wonderful. God met us. The times of worship were amazing as the Holy Spirit revealed to us how great Jesus Christ is. The times of fellowship, ministry night, discussions in our small groups, everything outstanding. But we can't stay at the retreat. We come back to our lives and the question is, okay, now what? What is the effect that a retreat is to have on our day-to-day life? James 1:22, I believe, will get a glimpse into how we are to apply the retreat to our day-to-day life. In verse 22, James says this, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Verse 25 is where I want to focus. But, see that but, that is the opposite of what just came. So the opposite of what it's like to forget and to not apply God's word. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being a hearer, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Verse 25 again, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's pray for God's help in this message. Lord, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity tonight to gather with these people, to sing your praises, to hear from your word preached. Lord, I pray that you help me communicate effectively your word. Lord, I pray that you help us all walk away from this message with a goal that you have for us and how we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lord, we desire to be doers of the word for your glory. So we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll end the evening with the retreat video, all right? You know, there's times where I have a tendency to overreact to things. You can ask my wife if you don't believe me. I'll give you some examples of how I can overreact to things. I can see something that needs to be done. It could be around the house, it could be with me, it could be in my life, and I can have a tendency to react quickly and strongly in that area with a flurry activity, but I lack in consistent follow-up through that. I don't know if you can relate to that example. One example I can give you is my messy truck. I have a truck and I keep it very messy. It's not my preference, but the seat next to me and the floor make a perfect trash can. You know, when I'm driving and I have an empty cup, it goes right here. And before long, it accumulates and my truck is a mess. And I will put it off and put it off and put it off. And it'd be much easier for me just to throw it away, wouldn't it? But I put it off and put it off, and it accumulates. And then I overreact. I say, that's it. I'm tired of this trash. I got to clean it all out. And so I don't just take the trash and do what you would normally expect, take what's there and throw it away. But I decide I'm going to do a complete overhaul cleaning of my truck. I'll overreact. I'll detail the thing. I'll scrub the floor, scrub the seats. And I'll do this amazing cleanup job of my truck, which lasts for about 6 hours. That's about the extent of my cleanup. And it would be much easier if I were just to be more consistent in throwing away trash than to repeat this cycle of having it build up and then reacting all at once. cleaning it all, and then the cycle starts again. You know, I can do this in my spiritual life as well. I can go to a retreat or a conference, and the Lord, in His kindness, reveals so much to me that I can walk away aware of 10 different areas in my life that I want to change. Can you relate to that? I have 10 different areas I want to change in, and so in my typical overreacting self, I create the 100-point plan to change, and I do what every Christian who overreacts at conferences do. I go to the bookstore and I buy every single book recommended on that topic. So I have the 10 areas I want to grow in, I have the books to read, and I have great intentions, and I have the plan to change. And often my experience is that though I have good intentions, there are times where I lack consistency in following up with my plan. You know, this way, this type of approach to spiritual change doesn't produce lasting change. You know, if you try to change in all 10 areas at the same time, you'll become quickly frustrated. It's like being thirsty and trying to drink from a water hose. You just can't do it all at once. So don't be like me as you seek to apply what you learned from Worthy 06 at our retreat. And though your intentions may be wonderful, and that's great that you want to change in 10 areas. I'm not downplaying that. That's a sign that God is working in your life. But I would encourage you to not pick 10 items to change in your life. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick just one. And you might be thinking, okay, that's way too easy. But I don't want you to walk away from a retreat and to create a huge long list about all the things you want to change in your life. Because I believe you'll quickly become frustrated with that plan. But instead, I want you to pick one area that you want to focus on. Not 10, one. And I want you to apply James 1:25 to that one area. So what does James chapter 1 verse 25 say? Well, look at it with me. Verse 25, we look into the perfect law. That's a reference to God's word. That's a reference to what you have before you. You look into the perfect law, you look at God's word, and after hearing God's word is what happened at the retreat. After hearing God's word, you're instructed to do God's word. Apply God's word, in other words. And look back to the text, you can see you don't just do God's word one time, you apply it and you keep on applying it. You persevere in doing God's word. The result, he who hears God's word, does God's word, perseveres in doing God's word, here's the wonderful promise, he will be blessed. She will be blessed. You know, we're not created to be retreat Christians. You know, in a way, the retreat is like a shot in the arm of passion. And you heard from some of the testimonies. God manifests His presence to us and His power to us in real ways. And we're not minimizing that. There's a reality to it. God meets us at the retreats. He is faithful to do so. There's a reality to the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to how wonderful Jesus Christ is. You know, but growth doesn't happen at a retreat. Growth in godliness, holiness, spiritual growth in your life, in your soul, doesn't happen at a retreat. It happens when you come home. So you heard the word. Now you come back to real life and you have to do the word, according to James 1. Experiencing God in those ways, and they were powerful ways. Experiencing God is supposed to have a lasting effect on our day-to-day lives. You know, I was thinking microwaves are a weird thing to me. I don't know if you're like me. You're probably not, because you don't think about weird things like I do. I just think about these weird things. Microwaves, this is something I've thought about. They're just weird to me. I don't quite understand how microwaves work. Now, I'm sure there's someone smart out there right now who can explain to me exactly the way this little box heats up this piece of food. But here's what's confusing to me. See, ovens, I understand how ovens work, right? You turn them on, they get really hot, they're all hot inside, and you put something into it, and that thing that you put in gets hot, right? It makes sense to me. It's hot, you put it in there, it gets hot. But microwaves, you put it in there, and the microwave itself is not hot. You're thinking, Dave, you're a moron. You think about these things? So, I mean, I remember trying to figure this out, and I remember putting something in there, cooking it, and opening it, putting my hand in real quick. Seeing, just perplexed. Why isn't it hot? But the thing is hot. You know, if you put a potato in there, the potato is hot, but then you open, you put your hand in, there's no heat. Microwaves cool off real quick. I don't know how that works. It's perplexing, isn't it? You're going to go home tonight and put your hand in the microwave. Watch. I know it. You know, I think, I just thought about this, and I thought, you know, some of us can act like microwaves when it comes to our spiritual passion. You know, we can get all heated up real quick. We can get all fired up real quick. But then that passion, that desire, that love for God can fade just as quickly. You know, I don't think that's the way God intends it to be. I don't think we're supposed to be passionate at retreats and then come back to our life and lose that passion instantly. And I think we should be like ovens. We need to be oven Christians, not microwave Christians. You'll remember this. You need to be oven Christians. You need to not let your passion die down. You need to not cool off quickly, but you need to remain passionate for God. You know, have you ever known a microwave Christian? Maybe you're a microwave Christian. Maybe you're like me, a microwave Christian. You know, someone who, at a retreat, their passion is unmatched. They're the most passionate person there, but then they come home and that passion is not carried over into everyday life. That passion, that experience with God does not change their day-to-day normal life, their day-to-day walk with God. See, God is a God of experience. God meets us in powerful ways. Sometimes we're expecting it, sometimes in ways that we're not expecting. And I do believe there's something unique about retreats, and God is faithful to meet us there. Maybe it's all the prayer that goes into the week. Maybe it's the faith that we have, that we know God's going to meet us. I think the primary way is simply this. God is faithful to reveal himself to you and me. And he loves to reveal himself to us. And the experience that we have with God should always work its way down into our soul and provoke in us lasting change. God doesn't want us to be microwaves and cool off really quickly. So I want you to focus on one area in your life, one thing that you can take away from Worthy 06. And I want you to seek to apply God's word as found in James 1. 25. Apply God's word to that one area, and I believe as the word of God works its way into your soul, your passion will not die down. You know, for all the junior hires, I know you're thinking right now, well, I wasn't there, I don't know any of the messages. Again, I would love to direct your attention to the website. You can download the messages and listen to them to there so that this message could be effective for you as well. But all senior hires, this is your assignment for your next youth care group. So your youth care group that Grant talked about, your assignment is this. Pick one area. You have that little purple piece of paper. It says, now what? Okay, we had all those great messages at the youth retreat. Now what? What is one area that you would like to grow in as a result of Worthy 06? Just one area. What is your plan to grow in this area? Here's what I want you to do. Every senior high member in a youth care group, I want you to fill this out. I want you to discuss this with your mother and your father. get their input on it, and then I want you to turn this in to your youth care group leader at your first youth care group. Okay, this will become the discussion at your first youth care group. What is one area that you want to focus on? You know, but picking just one area may for you be a challenge. You might be like me and have 10, and it's hard for you to, out of those 10, pick one. Maybe you're thinking right now, I know exactly what my one area is that I want to focus on. Maybe you're like Chris Glass, who thought, I don't even remember what the messages were about because I was on my cell phone. You're going to be a big target right there for me. The question is still, now what? So wherever you are, whatever your topic is, pick one. And if you are like me, you know, I walk away from a message and I have to use my notes in order to remember what the message was about. Often, you know, you ask me on a Wednesday what the Sunday message was about. I can remember in categories, but I need my notes to really fully understand and remember some of the specifics of a message. So tonight, I'm just going to run through 5 points, and these are not exhaustive, 5 different topics, quick snapshots of what we discussed at Worthy 06, our retreat just 2 weeks ago. So as I go through these, maybe one of these will be the one topic you want to focus on. Or maybe you have something completely different that God has revealed to you. Maybe for you, you want to pick that one area needs to be growing in your reading of the Bible as one story. Remember the first night I talked about biblical theology and reading the Bible as one story of God's redemptive plan through history. All 66 books detail this amazing story of how an all-powerful God reconciles sinners to himself. You know, how does a holy, awesome God, in whose presence is no sin, absolutely hates our sin, how does he reconcile sinners, us, how does he reconcile us to himself? Well, he doesn't, except through the killing of his own son. That's how he reconciles himself to us. And he places on his son the wrath that we deserved. God does the unthinkable. And he does it in the most incredible, amazing story ever known as the Bible. God's word, God's preached word, God's holy word to us. The most amazing story ever written, starting in Genesis 1 all the way to the end of Revelation. We have the story from man's fall in Genesis 3. And then immediately in Genesis 3, you see how God starts this story and slowly unfolds the story right in front of our eyes in the Old Testament of how he plans to bring sinners into communion with himself. And that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And you see in the Old Testament how slowly, remember, Christ emerges from the shadows of the Old Testament. We see foreshadows of Christ in the Old Testament as we get these snapshots of how God plans to unfold this unbelievable story right before our eyes as we read. So maybe this is the area you want to focus on. Have you ever been reading through the Bible? Have you ever had your one-year Bible plan and you get stuck in Leviticus? Or you get stuck in whatever book, you name it. And you ask yourself, man, what does Christ have to do with this book? Okay, Dave, I understand. You say every chapter in the Bible, every word points to Christ. How does this point to Christ? Well, maybe that's what you need to grow in. Maybe you need to grow in your reading of God's word as one story, the story of God redeeming us to himself. Do you want to grow in your understanding of how the entire Bible points to Christ? Well, I just want to give you some helpful resources to do so. Here's a book. You have it up there? All right. Here's a book by Vaughn Roberts called God's Big Picture, Tracing the Storyline of the Bible. All right, since the overheads aren't working, there it is. There we go. God's Big Picture. Easy book, not huge, but if you did have that question, okay, what does all this Old Testament stuff have to do with Jesus Christ? Well, if that's the area you want to focus on, let me encourage you to make this a part of your plan. Maybe another category you want to focus on, again, from the message I gave, was focusing on God's love. Maybe that's the one area for you that you need to focus on in the upcoming months. And when we talked about Christianity being a revealed religion, you may have understood, yeah, it was God that revealed himself. You may even understand it was to us that he revealed himself to. But then I asked the question, why? Why would God reveal himself to us? We didn't discover God. We didn't find God. The only thing we know of God is the fact that he has revealed himself to us. And I ask the question, why? Here's why. His amazing love for you. That's why. As J.R. Packer puts it in a book I'm about to recommend, he wants to be in communion with you. That's why. Now that is just breathtaking, isn't it? That this God, whose glory is above the heavens, is bigger than anything we can imagine, would choose to reveal himself to you and to me through a book. That's amazing. That's breathtaking as we survey the love that God has for us. You see, the Bible, the story of the Bible itself screams of God's amazing love for you and for me. See, God's love is not impersonal. God's love is not vague and unfamiliar. God's love to you is very personal. God's love to you is passionate. God is aggressive in showing you his love. And usually, at points in my message, I'll bring out quotes from theologians, from books we all read. I want to give you a quote from Kristen Snyder, who sent me a testimony about this very topic. She writes in her testimony, sent to me from the blog, she says, "In our group after the message, we were talking about God's love to us in giving us the Bible, and one of the moms started talking about God's love, how God's love is unlike any love we could imagine. It's a different kind of love, one so amazing, so grand that we can't understand it." So the wheels in my head just started to turn. Like, I can understand, I like the way she writes, like she talks. Like, I can understand why my parents love me, and I can understand why they love their children. I can understand why they love each other. There's a reason for it, but God had or has no reason to love me. He just does. And I thought that was just amazingly profound. He just does. Mrs. Woodrow made the point in our discussion that we can't even compare Jesus' love and sacrifice for us on a human-to-human level, unlike a soldier dying for a fellow soldier, but more like a king dying for a cockroach. And then she says, but even worse than that, and she concludes with this, mind-blowing. See, for Kristen, the love of God for her blew her mind. So, has God's love for you ever taken your breath away? Has it ever blown your mind that this holy, awesome God would send his Son to a cross to die in your place? Does that take your breath away? If not, maybe this is the topic that you need to be studying. Do you live in the good of God's profound love for you through the death of his Son? Or have you grown familiar with it? Have you grown cold? I would encourage you to meditate on the price that Christ had to pay for you. And every time you do meditate on that, ask yourself this question, why? And here's the answer. Because He loves you. It's profound. So this book, a couple of resources for you. Again, this isn't just to load you up, but I want to give you some handles. If any of these things resonate with you, yeah, this is the one area I want to focus on. I want to just give you a couple resources. This is a book I just read, J.I. Packer, God Has Spoken, Revelation and the Bible, especially the first four chapters. Outstanding resource in understanding God's love for you and revealing Himself to you. Another book I'd recommend, Communion with God by John Owen. Outstanding book talking about God's love for you. And a book you guys are very familiar with, Seeing and Savoring Jesus Christ by John Piper. Any of these resources, again, look, not overwhelming in their size, very readable. But if that's a category for you, I'd encourage you to talk to your parents. Maybe include one of those books in your plan of study, in your one topic you want to focus on. All right, maybe another category. Those are the first two. But maybe when Mr. Boisvert was talking, and as he was sharing on the authority and the inspiration of God's Word, you realize you need to grow in conforming your life to the authority of God's Word, to the authority of that book that you hold in your hand. See, maybe you have a general understanding of the Bible being God's Word, and maybe that's just simply because you grew up in the church. You have a general idea, but as Mr. Boisvert talked about how God exercises His authority in your life through Scripture, He exercises His authority in your life through Scripture, maybe you realize that for you, the Bible doesn't act as a judge in how you live your life. Maybe it's not acting for you as an authority. For you, the Bible isn't the final authority in your life. Maybe something else is. Maybe your feelings are. And maybe as Mr. Boisvert was talking about, the inspired, authoritative Word of God, you realized, I need to be living in submission to this book. So do you need to grow in having your life conformed to the authority of the Bible? Do you need to come to the Bible and have the Bible form your opinions and your perceptions? Or do you find your tendency is to come to Scripture with your perceptions and with your judgments rather than coming to it under its authority? Or maybe as Mr. Boisvert was talking, he was talking about Jesus' high view of Scripture. You realized that in your life, maybe you're too casual with your handling of God's Word. And that can look like a number of different things. Maybe you realize you need to grow in your respect for and submission to this book. Realizing that to obey this book is to obey God. And to disobey this book is to disobey God. It was just profound when Mr. Boisvert said, your attitude towards this book is your attitude towards God Himself. Now, I wasn't there for those three messages that Mr. Boisvert, Loftness, and Mecca preached, but I was able to listen to him on CD. And I would highly recommend that you do the same. It's affected by that question. So if that's something that you want to grow in, I would encourage you. Here's a resource for you, R.C. Sproul, Knowing Scripture. All these books in our bookstore. Easy to read. Talking about the authority that Scripture has in your life. Fourth category maybe for you, as Mr. Mako was sharing about the usefulness of God's Word, I asked Mr. Mako to speak on a message from 2 Timothy 3:16 about how God's Word is useful to you as a youth in your life, to every category, answering the question, how does God's Word apply to this category? Fill in the blank. So as he was sharing, maybe that's what God revealed to you. You need to grow in applying God's Word to this one specific area in your life. Maybe you believe the Bible is God's Word and you seek to live under its authority, but you struggle in seeing how God's Word applies to every area of life. And maybe the Bible for you is not functioning in your life like it should. You remember the illustration that Mr. Maker gave about the barbecue grill? It's not functioning as it should, and as a result, blew off his eyebrows and all his hair. That's a great story, by the way. I would have loved to see a picture of that after you blew off your eyebrows. So maybe it's not functioning for you the way it should in your life. Maybe there's a specific category as you think, yeah, what does Scripture have to say about that category in my life? Maybe for you, you've never really developed a biblical conviction on something like dating. Maybe for you, it's just something of a church culture, but you've never really sat under the authority of God's Word and searched God's Word for what it has to say on this particular topic. And it has a lot to say, let me say, but you can't go under the D in your concordance and look under dating, because that's not the way to do it. But God's Word is very clear and speaks very loudly to that area. So maybe it's a category like that where you can use a resource like I Kiss Dating Goodbye, written by our senior pastor. Or maybe it's an issue like fear of man. Maybe you struggle with fear of man. And you need to search God's Word about all that it has to say about that topic in your life. And if that's the case, I'd recommend a resource called When People Are Big and God Is Small. Again, all these books are very readable. Whatever the category is, I'm trying to put in your hands a resource that is helpful for you. Maybe it's your entertainment choices. If you remember the question that Mr. Maka asked, maybe it's your entertainment choices. And I remember he asked the question, what does the Bible have to say about the music I listen to, or the movies I watch, or the TV I choose to watch? Some of you may be thinking, you know, the Bible has nothing to say about whether I listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers. Well, it does have something to say about it. It may not be under Red Hot Chili Peppers, but it has something very clear to say about how much music you listen to and what kind of music you're filling your head with. The Bible has something to say about the movies you watch, the TV you watch. And I thought as Mr. Maka expounded that point, I thought he just did an absolute great job. Maybe for you, you need to use a resource like Worldly Amusements and go through a book like this with your parents. Put this on your plan as your one area. I want to see what God's Word has to say about this area in my life. And I thought Mr. Loftus's message was simply outstanding. I asked him to give a message on how we apply God's Word, and he just made it so practical for us, didn't he? Made it so easy. I read so many testimonies about how often when people hear messages on devotional life and spiritual disciplines, they walk away feeling discouraged. But Mr. Loftus just spoke with a grace and a passion about meeting with God. And so many people's testimony from that message was, man, I want to be like him. I want to be like Mr. Loftus. I want to love God's Word the way he loves God's Word. So I'm grateful to all these men for their example, for their preaching, for the messages they've brought. And so from Mr. Loftus's message, maybe there is a specific aspect of your devotional life you want to focus on. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's your Bible intake. Maybe it's your meditation on Scripture, memorization of Scripture. Maybe a book like When I Don't Desire God from John Piper. Maybe this will be a service to you if that is the case. Or maybe consistency in your devotional life. Maybe it's consistency that you struggle with. Maybe it's life that easily throws you off your plan. And maybe summer was really easy for you, and now all of a sudden you're back at school, and man, it's hard to get up in the morning. Well, I can identify with that, and if it's a resource you need, I would encourage For the Love of God by D.A. Carson and A Godward Life. Both of these are two-volume sets, A Godward Life by John Piper. If it's a consistent plan you need in your devotional life, maybe it's a resource like that that would serve you. So, Maybe you're thinking, man, I need every one of those categories. Because I know for me, as I was preparing this message, and I'm just going through all these different messages that were given at the retreat, even though they're all on the doctrine of Scripture, there's still that aspect. I'm thinking, man, I need to grow in all these areas. There's room for me to grow in all these areas. But I don't want you to pick 10. I want you to pick just one. That's your assignment. Pick one of these topics so that when we ask the question, now what? Okay, we came back from this retreat, now what? So that you can answer that question and not be a microwave Christian. We get heated up real quick and all of a sudden we're cold. But that passion will be sustained in our life. Pick one area you want to focus on. Write it down on that purple sheet. Talk to your parents about it. Hand it in to your youth care group leader. Search God's Word. Apply James 1:25. Look into God's Word. What God's Word has to say about it. Hear God's Word. Hear what God's Word has to say about it. And then don't be hearers only, but be doers. Don't do just one time, but keep on doing. Persevere in these things. And here's the wonderful promise. You guys will be blessed. Isn't that wonderful? Pick one thing, continue, and you will be blessed. Let's pray for God's help to do that. Lord, I do pray that you will just bless each person, Lord, that went on the retreat just a couple weeks ago. Lord, and everyone else here that wasn't on the retreat. Lord, I do pray that you will continue the work that you did in the hearts of these youth at the retreat. And Lord, I know that's your desire. Lord, I know it's your desire to continue revealing yourself to us and to continue supplying for us passion for you. So Lord, I do pray that you will sustain our love for you in the days to come, Lord, as we go back to our day-to-day life and seek to apply all these messages from the retreat. Lord, I just pray that you would give each person here a grace to focus on one area and apply your word to that one area so passion for you will be sustained. Lord, we do this because we desire to honor you. Lord, I ask this because I desire to honor you with my life. In Jesus' name, amen.